caring for children, de-escalation and restraint, managing emotions. Some children in foster care struggle to manage their emotions and behavior. This is perfectly understandable considering the trauma and loss they have suffered before they entered foster care and/or as a result of being moved into a fostering home. Some children express their emotional distress with aggressive behavior. Others internalize their feelings, which means that they struggle to express themselves and may present as cold and uncaring. However, many children in foster care are relatively well settled and do not struggle significantly with their emotional regulation. This policy will outline how foster carers and social workers and the team around the child can support children who express difficult feelings with aggressive and challenging behavior. Challenging behavior is an expression of unmet need. Challenging behavior should be considered to be an expression of sadness, isolation, low self-esteem, or other difficult emotions. Foster carers of children who present challenging behavior should primarily aim to improve the child's emotional well-being. Knowing the child, the starting point of any intervention or support plan for children is to know and reflect on the child's needs, experiences, perspective and desires, matching appropriately. If it is known that a child has a history of offending, or otherwise challenging, behavior or is at risk of challenging behavior, the child will be matched to appropriately experienced and trained foster parents. If it is known before matching that the child may need to be supported with approved restraint methods, the child would only be matched with trained foster carers. If it becomes known that restraint may be needed whilst the placement is ongoing, appropriate training and support will be provided to the foster carer, S and child, REN. Child's wishes and feelings. Children appreciate transparency, trust and being heard. This is particularly the case for children in foster care, who have had many significant decisions made on their behalf, potentially leading to a sense of disempowerment and not being heard. It is also important to involve children in decision-making because the children need to develop good decision-making skills, which is vital for their development, safety and independent living skills. Some adults may feel uncomfortable discussing challenging behavior with children, especially if the children are new to the fostering home and they haven't yet built up a strong relationship. The discomfort is often due to fear of upsetting the child, fear of unsettling the child, leading to disruptive behavior, or due to lack of confidence about having the conversation. Foster carers who are looking after children who present with challenging behavior, or may in the future, should be able to discuss the topic with confidence, and from the position that the child shouldn't be embarrassed, that a fresh start can be made at any time, and that the foster carers are determined to help the child feel secure, stable, optimistic and confident, thereby minimizing the risk of challenging behavior. Social workers can support foster carers to have these discussions with the children. If physical restraint is being considered, this should be discussed with the child as soon as possible. Children who have experienced restraint before may offer suggestions or alternatives. The children should be given an opportunity to talk about their experience of restraint, what support was offered after restraint and their feelings about it. Many children who have experienced restraint understand that it is necessary and used as a last resort. If the child hasn't experienced restraint previously, but it seems that this may be a possibility in the future, this should be discussed with the child and the child should be clear about what to expect. It should be explained that restraint would only be used to prevent harm to the child, harm to others or significant harm to property. The child should be assured that they will not be unsafe or in pain. Developmentally appropriate behavior, making choices, taking risks and learning from failures is part of growing up. Like their peers, looked after children need to be supported to learn through experience. When the choices they make are poor or the risks unacceptable, foster parents should be able to talk to them about their situation and help them to understand and manage their own behavior. Whilst it is normal for foster parents, like parents, to want to avoid unnecessary risks, excessive caution is unhelpful. Children and young people need to be exposed to some risks, proportionate to their age and understanding. Furthermore, children in care should experience the patience, forgiveness and generosity of spirit that every valued child should experience when they make mistakes. Additional needs. Staff and foster carers are expected to consider the child's development and abilities when setting expectations for the child. Some children struggle with their behavior because their development has been delayed as a consequence of abuse, and for other children their development is delayed due to cognitive disability. A child's individual needs must always be taken into consideration when making decisions about how to support their behavior. Medication. Children can only be given medication which is approved by the children's social worker and/or medical professionals. Also, the medication can only be given in the circumstances specified by medical professionals. If the dosage and frequency of the medication is at the foster carer's discretion, the amount given should be in the best interests of the child and the justification for each use should be recorded on the child's medical record. The use of medication should be explained to the child in a manner that they can understand, as far as they have capacity to understand. Consent should be sought at every administration unless there is a serious risk to the child's health without the medication. Diversity. Other factors to consider include how well the child's identity needs, including religious, cultural, ethnic and linguistic background, are met. If the child's identity needs aren't met, this may impact on the child's sense of well-being and their behavior. Any medication provided should not conflict with the child's religious or cultural beliefs, unless there is serious risk to life. Medical and social work advice is to be sought for clarification when this is possible. Promoting positive behavior building attachments. While the child is in the fostering placement, the best source of encouragement for the child to improve and/or maintain positive behavior is their attachment to the foster carer and the role modeling by the foster parent, S. Strong attachments, stability, feeling heard and having good self-esteem are the foundations of positive behavior. Foster carers who have established a strong positive attachment with children in their care are much more likely to be able to support a child to recover from distress and to optimize the child's potential. Foster carers who struggle with their attachment and affection towards children in their care are expected to share this information with their supervising social worker so that the foster carer and the children in their care can be supported to build a strong, therapeutic and appropriate relationship with each other. The attachments should help the child, Ren, to feel valued, heard, and safe. Younger children in particular develop good self-esteem by pleasing the adults in their life. All adults in the children's lives should be actively praising the child, Ren, regularly, and sincerely. Children who are struggling to manage their behavior have a greater need for encouragement and support. Foster carers are expected to work towards building a secure base for the children in their care. This can be done by being consistently available, helping the child to trust, being sensitive, helping the child to manage feelings, cooperation, helping the child to feel effective, and family membership, helping the child to belong. Ways to show appreciation and value for others, including children, include words of affirmation, words praising and commending the child, quality time, distraction-free quality time, receiving gifts, special symbolic and sometimes spontaneous surprises, acts of service, such as cleaning the child's bedroom or doing other chores without complaint, and physical touch, cuddles, handholding, sensitive and appropriate touch. Once the foster carer and staff have established the various methods of appreciation with the children, it will be clear which methods the child responds better to, and so these methods should receive extra focus. The methods can be actively discussed with the child, Ren, and subsequently the child can start showing appreciation towards others using the same methods. By using these methods with the child and by encouraging the child to use these methods with others, the child will feel more confident in their relationships and in themselves. This will be reflected in improved mood and improved behavior. Building drive and self-esteem. Other ways to raise children's self-esteem include helping them to do well in school, or improve performance with other activities that they enjoy, to help them to improve relationships with others, to record their achievements, e.g. star charts and certificates, or to help them to achieve targets which matter to them, and are rewarded for. Foster carers should encourage children to develop a range of skills and knowledge, including sports, arts, puzzles, etc., alongside academic subjects. Improved self-esteem is likely to result in more appreciation of the foster carers and improved behavior. Educating the child. Other ways to support a child to improve their behavior includes educating the child about stress management, including therapy or mindfulness, teaching the child conflict management, improving their communication, whether verbal or written, reviewing the child's diet and exercise, and exploring if there are any health problems. Children should be educated, listened to, and empowered to look after themselves as best they can. Clarifying boundaries and consequences. Every foster home must have consistent, fair, and compassionate expectations of children's behavior and the consequences for inappropriate behavior. Responses to challenging behavior should be agreed between the child, staff, and foster carers as soon as possible, ideally at the start of placement when reviewing the child's individualized safer caring plan. Consequences should not be harmful and should not cause distress or trauma to the child. Expectations are shared and discussed with the children when they are ready to discuss them. Children should be invited to edit the expectations if they feel that alternatives would be better suited to them, Children are more likely to engage with plans if they are able to contribute and feel a sense of ownership of the plans. Consequences should be avoided whenever possible, especially when it's clear that challenging behavior, including language, follows an upsetting incident or time for the child. The initial response should be to try to reassure and comfort the child. Consequences should only be put in place as a last resort, when it's felt that other, nurturing, approaches have been tried and exhausted. Appropriate consequences should be chosen according to what is significant to the child and would include non-harmful consequences such as reducing or stopping pocket money, the amount is proportionate to the behavior, reducing playdates or other social activities, removal of non-essential items such as game stations, or stopping extracurricular activities temporarily. Consequences should be minimal and should be retracted as soon as possible, while still being able to encourage positive behavior. Consequences which aren't acceptable include restricting contact with family or professionals, inappropriate physical restraint or punishments, see below, deprivation of food, water, medication or sleep, or making a child wear distinctive clothing. The child should not feel shamed or undervalued as a result of the consequences. The language used with children should always be compassionate, patient and should indicate the worth and value of the child. Abusive, derogatory and offensive language is not acceptable. The child cannot be subject to intimate physical searches under any circumstances. Any harmful and inappropriate consequences imposed upon the child would lead to disciplinary action against the foster carer, S, and/or staff member, S, potential deregistration, reporting to the local authority designated officer, and if harm is caused to the child, police would be involved. The child's social worker and the supervising social worker should be informed of any consequences that have been put in place and a detailed write-up should be provided as soon as possible. Rewarding progress. Positive behavior should be appropriately rewarded. Rewards include praise, quality time, activities, special food treats, money, stars for their star chart or other act of reward. Expectations, targets and rewards for children should be proportionate to the child's development and abilities. All children should be encouraged to make reasonable and realistic improvements, which should be encouraged with appropriate, and generous, rewards. Rewards should be mostly focused on effort and determination, rather than actual outcomes. Progress made and rewards given should be recorded on the foster carer's recordings. Special attention should be given to rewarding progress which is identified in the child's care plan. Identifying triggers, knowing the triggers. Some children are triggered, angered, by specific things. For example, some children become angry after contact with birth family. Sometimes the triggers are quite clear to identify, either because there is a clear pattern of behavior, or the child may be able to articulate some things that make them angry. Sometimes triggers are quite difficult to identify. A good way to help to identify triggers is to keep a detailed log of every incident. Often, looking through the log can help to identify triggers. Drugs or alcohol use of drugs and/or alcohol lowers inhibition. A child who uses substances may do so in order to block out difficult feelings, but then may become more vulnerable to their own feelings because of substance use. Children who are using drugs or alcohol would be supported by specialist substance misuse services, which may include counselors, safeguarding issues. Children placed into fostering homes are likely to have suffered traumatic experiences and/or abuse before entering the fostering home. Furthermore, children placed into fostering homes are at increased risk of a range of ongoing safeguarding issues, such as trafficking, bullying, or sexual exploitation. Sparks Fostering has policies pertaining to all of these issues. Children who have experienced, or are continuing to suffer, such significant levels of trauma are likely to exhibit their confusion and distress via their language and behavior. In order to manage these risks, accurate recordings and excellent communication is essential between the members of the team around the child. Referrals to specialist teams may need to be made in cases of complex issues. The child's social worker will make the necessary arrangements. Managing triggers. Some triggers could be managed quite easily. For example, if the child has a phobia of dogs, perhaps linked to previous experiences, then the child should not be placed in a home with dogs. If the child is triggered by a particular food, that food can be removed from the diet, at least until the child starts healing from their trauma. Some triggers cannot be avoided. For example, a child may struggle around the time of an anniversary of a death. In these instances, foster carers and staff should put plans in place to distract the child and help them to cope with their difficult feelings. Therapy, counseling or other desensitizing interventions may be considered for the child if it is an appropriate time for the work to be carried out. For many children, the solution is stability, time, and plenty of affection and care. Early identification of aggressive behavior. Foster carers and staff may come to know the early signs of frustration and anger in the child. This information should be shared with the team around the child so that support can be coordinated. Once the signs are identified, the child's care plan should be amended to include how the foster carer is expected to respond to escalation in aggressive behavior, de-escalation. In most cases, foster carers are able to anticipate challenging behavior from the child before it happens, either because of signs of escalation, such as raised tone of voice, persistent defiance, or uncharacteristic isolation or lack of eye contact, or because of information provided to them by their social worker or other professionals. The child's safer carer policy should include instruction for appropriate de-escalation techniques, and the foster carer and/or professionals should speak with the child, depending on the child's abilities, about the actions to be taken when the child struggles with their behavior. The child should also be given the opportunity to make recommendations for how they would like to be supported at the early stages of escalation. Appropriate methods of de-escalation include speaking with the child in a calm tone of voice, distracting the child, offering ways to use up adrenaline, e.g. skipping, using a punch bag or going for a run. Let the child have some space. Never stop the child from having private space, but the foster carer must stay nearby until they are confident that the child has calmed down and isn't at risk of further harm. During an emotional outburst, children and adults struggle to think rationally because of the high levels of emotions. Foster carers may find that children do not respond well to instruction when they are upset. However, the child may respond to tone of voice, mention of activities they enjoy, or gentle reassuring touch, such as a hand on the shoulder. Transference and counter-transference of emotions. Foster carers and staff should be mindful of their own feelings when interacting with children. If the foster carer is having a bad day, they may be stressed. The foster carer may do their best to be friendly and calm with the child. However, children, especially children who have experienced abuse, are very quick to pick up on their carer's feelings. The stress of the foster carer may then lead to increased stress for the child. This is called transference. It is important for children's development that they are able to respond appropriately to other people's stress or anger. However, for children in foster care, this area of the child's development has to be approached and managed carefully. Counter-transference is when the anger of a child leads to anger or stress in the foster carer. The child interprets the stress of the foster carer as being directed at them, which leads to further stress and anger for the child. In order to avoid this escalation in tension, foster carers must be mindful of their own feelings and communicate well with the child. When managed well, the child and foster carer would be able to cope with difficult feelings and would be able to keep a healthy separation between their own feelings and other people's feelings. Children who have not been supported well, or have limited ability, may react highly to their carer's emotions, much like babies and very young children do. Foster carers may need to support the child to go through the stages of emotional development that would be expected of the average child as they mature. Deciding not to intervene. Sometimes foster carers may take the decision to not intervene. The foster carers must provide a full write-up of the incident in the foster carer recordings, including the reasons for not intervening. The option to not intervene may also be included in the child's care plan. Non-physical intervention. The initial responses to aggressive behavior should be verbal and/or through nurturing body language. Whilst this level of intervention is minimal, the foster carer is still expected to provide details about the incident in the foster carer recordings, physically redirecting if foster carers need to prevent a child from leaving the home, or if they need the child to move to a safer location. The foster carer may direct the child by using their body to block or guide the child to a different space, without touching the child. The posture should not be threatening or intimidating. Non-restrictive contact. This refers to situations where a foster carer has physical contact with a child against their will, but where the child retains a large degree of freedom and mobility and can break away from the carer if they wish. They are not overpowered and have options to move away from the carer. This might include taking a child's hand or putting an arm around their shoulder to physically guide them away from a situation, or pulling a child away from another child they are trying to hit in order to get between them. Normal parenting activity with toddlers and younger children will inevitably involve non-restrictive contact, such as physically redirecting a toddler from trying to join his older sister as she plays in an organized school football match. Similarly, depending on their mood, amongst other things, A child might object and resist if a parent insists on holding their hand near road traffic. This describes routine parenting activity appropriate to the age and development of the child. Physical restraint. Foster carers can only physically intervene in a child's behavior if the child places themselves, the carers, or anyone else at risk. Physical intervention can also be used to prevent serious damage to property. Foster carers who are likely to physically restrain children are provided face-to-face training, which enables them to practice various safe physical restraint techniques. When physically restraining a child, the foster carer must be mindful of the following points. Children cannot be slapped, punched, pushed, or handled roughly under any circumstances. Adults should hold children from the side on, so that the front of their body isn't touching the child, and during intervention there shouldn't be any contact with the child's eyes, ears, face, or sexual areas. Carers should not restrain children in a way that impacts on the airway, breathing, or circulation, such as face-down restraint. Carers should note that being able to speak doesn't necessarily indicate that air is entering the lungs. The child's skin tone and alertness is to be monitored throughout a physical restraint. Holding a child by the neck carries a risk of suffocation or restricting blood flow to the brain, as well as a risk of spinal injury, and so on no account should neck holds be used as a way of restraining children. Any techniques that inflict pain are not permissible. Wrists should not be held tightly. Techniques should not be used where they extend, or flex, or put pressure on the child or young person's joints. The use of mechanical restraints would usually be an entirely inappropriate way of managing behavior in a fostering setting. The only exception to this might be in relation to the small number of severely disabled children where a device such as an arm splint might limit or prevent high-frequency and intense self-injurious behavior. Neither would it be appropriate to lock a child in agreed behavior plan. An anticipated emergency scenario. Physical restraint must stop when child's behavior is no longer risk. Restraint should be stopped immediately if the child has difficulty in breathing, vomits, has experiences swelling, change of hue of skin. An ambulance must be called and first aid administered straight away if there are concerns about the child's health. The child's social worker and supervising social worker, or the duty teams if they are not available, must be informed as soon as the child's welfare is attended to. Rights of foster carers. The law allows foster carers, and others, to intervene, with reasonable force, to prevent a crime, including assault and criminal damage. Foster carers are also obligated to intervene as far as necessary to keep the child safe from harm. Calling the police. Foster carers should call police, or other emergency services, if there is risk of harm to the child or others, or if a crime is likely to be committed. If there is no immediate threat, police can only be called after consultation with the children's social worker and the SPARC's fostering social worker, who will both include the respective managers in the discussions. Children who are placed into foster care have already suffered considerable trauma, which affects their long-term outcomes. Criminalization of the children has further negative impact on the outcomes of children placed into care, so this should be avoided whenever possible. Recovery following a restraint incident, the child should be supported with gentleness, compassion, and patience. If the child complains of pain or discomfort, they should be offered medical treatment, and/or taken to a GP or hospital. Both foster carers and children should have the space and time to reflect on challenging situations once they are calm. Foster carers, and professionals, should discuss incidents of challenging behavior when the child is calm and ready to discuss the incident. Children should be given the opportunity to discuss incidents with other professionals, including an independent professional, if they wish to. Recording. Following an incident of challenging behavior, the foster carer should write down full details as soon as possible within the foster carer recordings. The details should be emailed to the child's social worker and the SPARC's fostering social worker as soon as possible, ideally within 24 hours of the incident, and if there are immediate concerns, risk, both social workers should be contacted by phone straight away. The foster carer and SPARC's fostering social worker should review documents which may need to be updated with the new information, such as the foster carer records, contact records, chronology, and injuries and medication record, including body map, risk assessment, safer care plan, placement plan, personal education plan, and education and healthcare plan. Some of these documents can be updated straight away and others are updated at review meetings by professionals. The SPARC's fostering social worker will notify the agency safeguarding lead of any serious behavioral issues, including all incidents of restraint. The safeguarding lead will notify Ofsted of behavior incidents which lead to police attending the fostering home, and/or resulting in child protection inquiries. The child has a right to view the foster carer recordings and any other documents on their file, except for confidential records, and the child should be encouraged to contribute to the records if they are willing to. Foster carers' support managing challenging behavior is also difficult for foster parents. Foster parents are expected to utilize their support network and also to speak with their supervising social worker so that they can work through their thoughts and feelings about caring for the child. Appropriate foster carer support is integral to ensuring that the child receives the best possible support, coordinating a move to a new placement. Foster carers have the right to give 28 days' notice to terminate fostering placements. However, this must only be given when all other options have been exhausted. It is not uncommon for foster carers to lose confidence in their ability to provide appropriate care for a child who presents with challenging behavior, but most foster carers work through the challenges to build a successful and productive relationship with the child in their care. SPARK social workers support foster carers so that they can be given fair and supportive advice about the best course of action. Foster carers should also note that the children in their care have already suffered significant instability, which has caused harm to the children. More moves would cause additional harm to the child, Wren. Furthermore, sometimes children in foster homes anticipate rejection from their foster parents, and so the children may push boundaries to force the foster parents to reject them. In such circumstances, the foster parent must work with the team around the child to draw up a plan which will help the child feel more secure in their relationship with the foster parent, S. If a move is agreed, attempts should be made to introduce the child to the new foster parents as soon as possible so that a planned move may be arranged. The child's views should be considered when selecting the next fostering placement. The child should have the opportunity to meet with the next foster parents, and the child should be given the opportunity to remain with the current foster parents if their relationship can be repaired. Previous text light next the difference between fostering and adoption next.